Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, The Power of Prayer in Jesus' Name.
God's grace and His mercy be with you today through Jesus Christ, our King and Savior. Amen. All right, today we're continuing our look at spiritual warfare. You know, we've been looking at that over the last couple of weeks. The fight that we engage in as Christians, good versus evil, right versus wrong, light versus darkness, truth versus lies, the kingdom of Christ versus the kingdom of the evil one. And this is the fight that we're all engaged in as Christians every day, not just an earthly battle, but spiritual, against even spiritual enemies and forces and spirits in heavenly places. We read this in the Bible in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's start there, verse 12. Paul says, "For we're not contending against flesh and blood," in other words, human beings as Christians, "but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So we're talking about fighting against all that's evil as Christians, that we hold fast to Christ, keep to Him, and all the way to final victory in heaven. Last week we talked about the first great weapon that we have in this battle, which is what? Remember that last week? Right, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, right? It's the only thing we need on the ground is the Scriptures to fight our battles. We say, it is written, it is written, it is written, like Christ said, and He dispatched the devil, remember, through simply quoting the Word of God. This is the only weapon that we need, namely, the Scriptures to fight our battles on the ground. But today we're going to talk about the second great weapon we need as Christians in this battle. Not a weapon for the ground so much, but a weapon for the air. Because we read this next verse here. After taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the next line Paul says is, pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So what's the second great weapon that we have as Christians in the great spiritual warfare that we wage against evil? Not only the Word of God, that's first, but the second is prayer, which is this little thing, a phone or the radio. Namely, to call to God for help from above. Heavenly Father, send help from above, and He sends it. We call God in prayer. That's the second great weapon that we very much need, the weapon of the air for victory. And we're going to talk today especially about praying in Jesus' name and the power of that. For we read this, you remember when Jesus was going to the cross and He told His disciples just before that, you're going to be sad and sorrowful because I'm going away to the cross to die for the sins of the world, but I'm going to see you again. I'm going to be raised on the third day. And when I do, He then said this in John 16, He says in verse 22 or following, He says, in that day you'll ask nothing of Me when I'm raised. Truly I say to you, if you ask anything of the Father, He will give it to you in My name. Hitherto you have asked nothing in My name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So Jesus spoke about praying to God in Jesus' name. You call upon God through Jesus' name. Your prayers will most certainly powerfully be answered for victory and strength in your life. So let's talk today about praying in Jesus' name, that we wield not just the first weapon, the Word, but also the second weapon, which is prayer to God in our great battles. To warm up for that, let's start out by asking, how's your prayer life? Let's just check in. How's your prayer life going, would you say, as Christians? Do you pray much? Do you pray often? Do you pray powerfully? Do you pray in Jesus' name? Do you see great results? Or maybe not so much? You know, I think all of us at Christ listen, you are praying and you do see great results and you do have great expectations and we see amazing things, God working through our prayers to give us victory, but at the same time, we can all certainly get better at our prayer lives. We often don't pray as much as we could, or not as powerfully as we could. We don't avail ourselves of the great weapon. Now, why is that? Let me just give you a couple of things. I think, for one, we just forget to pray. Don't you forget to pray? Life is so fast today. You get started and you think, I'll pray in 10 minutes when I feel like it. But then you never feel like it. And we kind of get onto our day and don't really spend time with God in prayer. Also, we can get distracted in prayer. Do you get distracted? You start to pray and all of a sudden it's like your mind is off on what grocery list you got to buy later today. And you don't even remember. Oh, wait, I was supposed to be asking God for mighty help. Martin Luther, 500 years ago, had the same problem. He says, I can't pray straight through anything without my mind wandering. And he said once there was a saint called Bernard, not the dog, right, but actually a person. He says Saint Bernard had trouble praying all the way through his prayers, too. He told a fellow monk one time, I can't even pray through the Lord's Prayer once without my mind getting distracted. The other monk said, why, that's easy. What's your problem, Bernard? I can do that. No problem. I can pray straight through the Lord's Prayer. What's your trouble? Bernard said, okay, here's a contest then. If you can pray straight through the Lord's Prayer once without getting distracted and your mind wandering, why, I'll give you my white stallion over there in the stall as a prize. And the monk said, you're on. Okay, start, says Bernard. He says, okay. The monk says confidently, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be. Does that horse come with the saddle? Isn't that the way it is with you? We start to pray and then, man, our mind is off onto something else. It's not easy. And then we also don't pray so much because we don't believe in the power of prayer. Sometimes we consider it more wishful thinking. I know we really wouldn't say that, but we kind of think it's, you know, like Hiawatha. I'll shoot my arrow in the air. Where it lands, I know not where. Just sort of a wishful thinking. No, it's not wishful thinking. We know that. But sometimes we think that way. And of course, the big reason we don't pray is because our enemy, the devil, the evil one, does not want you to pray. Why is that? Because he knows that apart from the Word of God, the Scriptures, this is the only weapon that can harm him and his kingdom and push back the darkness. It's the only thing that will stop him and his agenda. And so he does everything he can to keep us out of prayer because he knows that's going to call in God's air force and he can't handle that. What's God's air force? Is his elect angels. You know, when we pray to God in the midst of our battle on the ground and we pray to God, he sends angels on account of our prayers to help us to get victory on the ground in our day's battle. But if you don't make the call, you're not going to have the help and you're going to be struggling on the ground in your battle without any air cover, and we don't like that. But the devil does. He likes to rule the skies over us. So even if we wield the Word of God, we don't have any air cover, and he hits us with barrages of planes and bombs and troubles in our lives such that it's hard for us Christians to go forward to victory, even if we are fighting and winning. But he wants us to drop the weapon. So let's consider then, what is prayer and how powerful is it? We could say a lot of things about prayer, right? Intimate communication with the Father, time to rest in God's presence and such things. But for today, let's talk about calling in God's air force. This is a direct communication from the soldier on the ground, you, to headquarters up above for air power. Send in the jets. Give me the victory above so I can have victory on the ground. We're not just shooting an arrow into the sky, launching it into an empty heavens. We're not just tossing a penny into a fountain. Oh, gee, I wish this would happen. No, this is a direct communication of the Christian to our Father above, the King, saying, send help, and he sends his help by the angels. Now, this reminds me when I was flying to Boston, actually, our Massachusetts friends, I was flying up there once to see my parents in Cape Cod. This is years ago. I've told you this story before, but I sat next to this guy that came to sit next to me on the plane who was massively strong. And he said he was formerly in the Special Forces, U.S. Special Forces in Afghanistan. And he said he was battling one day against the Taliban, he and his team. And they had their guns, they had their weapons, they had, let's say, the word, if you will, they had their machine guns, but the enemy forces were so many, they were so outnumbered with soldiers and tanks, and they were pressing them, and they were backing up in retreat until they were pressed into a lake. And just over the hill was about to come the whole forces of the enemies to kill them. They had only about a minute or two left, he said, before we were going to certainly die. What would you do in that case? Would you take up your gun and just keep firing, or would you avail yourself of the second weapon? What's the second weapon? He got out his radio, and he says, this is the one I really need right now. And he said, headquarters, I need help. We need help right now. Send in some F-15s and deal with this enemy, or we die. Well, what happened? The headquarters answered back on the radio, we don't have any F-15s, but we have two A-10 Thunderbolts nearby. We're sending them. Just hang on. Hurry, hurry. We're about to be killed. Well, he says, the forces were coming over the hill, and they had seconds. They were up to their waists in the lake, shooting back, but they said they had seconds left. And then the most marvelous sight, coming in low over the water, some couple hundred feet up, were the A-10 Thunderbolts raced overhead, right past them, roaring, and took out the whole enemy, and they were saved. And he came home alive to tell the story. Well, if he had only availed himself of the first weapon, he would have died. But when he held the second weapon, namely the radio, and he called headquarters, he got the help from above that he needed, and he won victory on the ground that day. Is that the way it is for you and me? Is this resonating with you? Do you guys pray to God for help from the angels? We don't pray to angels, by the way. We pray to God. We pray to headquarters. We pray to God. And it's His delight to send angels, elect angels, on our behalf to cover the skies to give us victory on the ground. Can I read that to you? Want to hear it from the Bible? Psalm 91 says, because you've made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your habitation, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For He'll give His angels charge of you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone, and then you'll tread on all the forces of the enemy. Think about that. When you pray, do you really believe that there are angels being sent out on your behalf to give you victory and to clear the skies so that you can go forward in your day's battle to victory? Well, if we don't call, we're not going to get the help. We read in Hebrews 1 in the Bible, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to serve for the sake of those who are to obtain salvation? God's angels, their specific mission is to take care of the Christians and to give them victory on the earth. Luke 22, Jesus was about to go to the cross to die for our sins. It says he withdrew from the disciples about a stone's throw. He knelt down and prayed. And then in verse 42, and an angel from heaven appeared, strengthening him. We need strength in our hearts, don't we? Hear that? You need that. See, it's empty in there. You need strength. The angels will appear and strengthen you to be able to endure the day's trouble and give you the victory. Jesus, when he's going to the cross a moment later, Peter, remember, draws a sword and he's about to try to defend Christ with a physical sword. And Jesus says, put your sword into its sheath, Peter. Don't you think that I can appeal to my Father in heaven? And at once he'll send 12 legions of angels. That's 50,000 to 70,000 angels, like the whole Air Force. And I could be saved. But then how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? Jesus says, I'm not making the call in this case because I got to go to that cross because I got to save mankind from their sins. And that's where he bore our sins and worked our salvation. But he could have called the whole Air Force in, right? And we can do the same. So if we don't have an answer right away from God that we feel the immediate deliverance when you're praying, keep praying. Sometimes it takes a little while for the Air Force to get here, right? Hold on another minute, because I got the A-10s on their way, but you got to keep fighting until they get there. We read in Daniel chapter 10. Remember that? Gabriel comes, the angel, comes and talks to Daniel, and he says, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. From the first day that you set your mind to understand and humble yourself before God, God's heard your words, and I've come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia," this is an archdemon, by the way, "withstood me 21 days. Even Gabriel, the great archangel of God, couldn't get to Daniel right away because he had to face off against a terrible, evil spirit. He says, "But then Michael, one of the great princes, another angel, came and helped me. So I left him there to fight with the prince of the kingdom of Persia, and I've come now to make you understand the message." You ever find when you pray, nothing happens? Well, keep praying. I mean, your voice got through to headquarters, but it takes a little while sometimes for the angels, the Air Force, to get to you. Keep fighting. They're on their way. Here come the A-10s. Wouldn't that be beautiful to see them come roaring overhead? They're on their way. You just got to keep praying. And so also here. But we need to pray in whose name? In the name of Greg. In the name of Kevin. In the name of Walter. No, in the name of Jesus, we pray to God. And that makes the prayer come through loud and clear over the radio. So let's talk next about how do we pray to God in Jesus' name? What's that mean? Well, how do we usually do that? You know, when you pray, don't we usually use Jesus' name? You do, right? Jenny, how do you usually use Jesus' name? Yeah, we say, at the end of our prayers, we say, da 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 da, all these things I ask, here's my laundry list of things I want, and in Jesus' name, amen. Is that the way we should really pray? Now, it's not bad, but let's remember that praying in Jesus' name is not just a footnote, okay? It's not just the way we end our prayers. It's not a postscript. It's not a short little signature, and it's certainly not a magical formula. When we pray in Jesus' name, it's far more than that. The first thing we should do in praying in Jesus' name is start our prayers in Jesus' name. We should say, "In Jesus' name, Father, I'm coming to you. Hear my prayer." What's it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Well, one of our great problems in prayer is that we pray weakly. In a weak way, bashfully, without confidence, because we come to God actually in our own name. What does that mean? Well, because I'm a good guy, because I'm honest and I've done everything well, and my own righteousness, my own merit, I come before you, Father, hear my prayer. What's that going to sound like to God? Very scratchy, because you're not coming with confidence, because you're coming based on your own goodness, your own righteousness. Is that the way to approach God, Karen? No, the way we approach God and go to God in prayer is through Jesus. He's the Savior. And so when we pray in Jesus' name, start your prayers in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I come to you, Father, which means I come to you not in my righteousness, not in my goodness, for I'm a sinner. I've fallen short of your glory. I come to you based on the merits of Jesus, based on his righteousness, based on his cross by which he saved me, based on his gospel which forgives me my sins, based on my adoption as your son, based on Jesus and what he's done for me, his salvation. I come to you, Father. And how's that going to sound? We're reading you loud and clear. Here comes the Air Force. Praise God. So we got to come to God, not in my name, not in your name, in Jesus' name. That's the way we approach God, because it's the only way we can ever approach God. You know, the Pharisee and the tax collector, I think we talked about that at the Sunday Bible study a few moments ago. But the Pharisee, remember that story? He was a very proud guy. He says, "I'm righteous, I'm holy, God must really love me because I'm such a good guy." And he came to God in Jesus' name to pray, and he said, "Go God, I'm thankful that I'm not like sinners over here. I thank you, I'm so righteous. I thank you, I'm so holy. Hear my prayer." He came in his own name. What did Jesus say? He said God was not interested in that prayer at all. That's as if you have a soldier in Afghanistan calling headquarters, but it comes across really scratchy on the radio, and it sounds like a Taliban accent. "Hello, please to send airplane to following locations of us. Okay, if you come to God in your own name or as an unbeliever and you try to get through a communication, that's going to sound like this guy's not one of us. Why would I send help to him? This is the Taliban talking, right? If you come in your own name, like the Pharisee. But there was a tax collector, Jesus says, who also came to God, but he said, oh God, I'm not worthy for you to hear any of these things. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I come to you only for your grace, only for your mercy, because you save us in Jesus. Only on account of him do I offer my prayers. Jesus says, that one came through loud and clear, and he went home to his house justified. So the first thing we got to do when we're coming to God in prayer, if you want to be confident, if based on your own name and righteousness, you'll never be confident because we're all sinners. We all fall short. But if you come in Jesus' name, God, I'm coming to you today like this. In Jesus' name, I approach your throne. Because he died for me, because he rose for me, because I'm saved in him, because I'm forgiven, because I'm adopted as a royal son, because I'm wearing the robe of his righteousness, hear my prayer. And what's God say? Good morning, son. Welcome, come on forward. What would you like? And help is on the way immediately because God loves prayers started in Jesus' name. Secondly, we want to pray through our prayers in Jesus' name. What's that mean? Well, keep going to God based on the salvation that you have in Jesus, but also pray for everything to be done according to Jesus' will. Not my will, God, but your will be done. So when you pray in Jesus' name, when we pray to God in Jesus' name, it means we want everything to be done according to what God deems as best, not necessarily what we think is best. Can you pray confidently if you pray to God for his will to be done? For sure. So how sometimes God answers us is with an immediate yes. So you can be sure of that. Like if I get up here to preach today and I say, God, give me strength today to preach a clear message. Is God going to answer that prayer? Sure, it's in accordance with his will, and it doesn't make any use. It's no good for me him answering that in 24 hours, right? It's like if I get that prayer answered in, tomorrow morning or something, didn't help up here, did it? So obviously, some prayers we can be confident in Jesus' name, according to your will, it's going to be done now. Yes, absolutely. Sometimes, though, God answers us with, yeah, good prayer, but I'll give you that later. God, get me out of this distress. I've got enemies coming against me right now. I'm weak. I'm needing your help. Sometimes God says yes, but it's going to take a few minutes because I want you to go through this trial because I'm refining you as gold is refined by fire so that you come forth as pure gold. So just hang in there. I'll give you strength to endure it. But yes, but just endure it a little bit longer because you need this trial to make you come forth as gold. And sometimes God gives us a no. Like when I prayed earlier on in my life, I was like, God, make me a schooner captain for the rest of my life. God said, nice thought, but I think pasture is what I have for you. And I'm like, cool, because the no was actually a better answer than my yes. I'm happy to be a pastor more than to have been a schooner captain. So when we pray in Jesus' name means we're praying in accordance with Jesus' will. And we just offer our prayers to God and say, hey, this is my request. This is what I'm asking for, Father, but you know what's best for me. If it's not the F-15, if it's the A-10s, praise God, they're on their way. For this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we've obtained the request made of him. So pray starting in Jesus' name, pray through the prayer in Jesus' name, and finally, pray ending your prayers in Jesus' name. Doesn't just mean, hey, that's my footnote, signature, thank you very much. It means that we are praying that these prayers be answered to the glory of Jesus' name. Whenever you pray something, God set me free, God help me with this, God save this person, may it all redound and turn into the glory and the greater glory of Jesus' name. And then you can be sure God will most certainly hear you. For friends, there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Amen? There's only one who has died for our sins. There's only one who promises us eternal life. There's only one who bled on the cross to forgive us and set us free. There's only one who's been raised from the dead on the third day that we, calling on his name, might have eternal life. And that name, I declare, is Jesus. If you pray, ending your prayers in Jesus' name, all to his glory, how is God going to answer that prayer? Friends, he's not just going to give you two A-10s or a couple of planes here or there. If you pray for the glory of Jesus' name through your prayers, he's going to send the whole Air Force on your side to clear the skies and give you the victory, because Jesus' name is the name above every name, says Philippians 2, because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, thus says the Lord. So call upon me in the day of trouble, says God, I'll deliver you, and you shall glorify me. In conclusion today, then, are you going to keep praying and pray more powerfully in Jesus' name? If not, I got a whole long afternoon. I can keep preaching. All right, but let's take these words up. You know, we take up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. That's great. But don't forget, it's not just a weapon for the right hand. We need the radio. Sometimes it's as and more powerful in our left hand. Father, headquarters, send me help from above. And with the two together, then it leads you to the great victory on the ground. And that's God's purpose for you. He always leads us in triumph. So in conclusion then, Jesus says in John 16, listen carefully. He says, truly, truly, I tell you the truth. If you ask anything of the Father, he will give it to you in my name. So far, you've asked nothing in my name, but ask and you will receive the help that your joy may be full. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Power of Prayer in Jesus' Name, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, just south and across from the City Hall building. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at christlutheranchurchcapecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our souls.